heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. Glad you could join us today. We're rounding the halfway point in the Sundays of Ordinary Time. As this weekend, we celebrate the 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And we're heading into, this week, a multi-week series of Sundays that will spend time in the sixth chapter of John, including the Bread of Life discourse. Now, it's interesting, it's interesting to me, at least, that the teaching that Jesus will give on he himself being the bread of life, that he will give his flesh to the world for food and so on, that that's all preempted by the feeding of the 5,000, which constitutes our reading for this Sunday. Now, clearly, obviously, we're meant to draw parallels between Jesus multiplying the loaves and fish and the way in which he gives his own flesh for the life of the world. One of the most obvious parallels between our readings for this Sunday and what's to come is abundance. That's what I would say anyway, abundance. I'll explain, but first a few other observations to set the stage. Okay, so first, notice that Jesus involves his disciples directly in the feeding of the 5,000. He starts off by asking Philip, he poses this question to Philip, basically, how are we going to get the bread? You know, how are we going to get this together? To test him, yes, that's what St. John tells us. But it's also obvious that Jesus desires to operate in cooperation with Philip and the other disciples, right? It's not just about him doing great stuff as we kind of look on and ooh and ah as he does all these amazing things, right? But he's involving his disciples. The test that Jesus sets before Philip is similar to, say, a school exam. It's meant to be a learning experience for him. Now, Andrew, taking the cue that, hey, maybe we're meant to be involved here somehow, he decides that he's going to contribute. But he realizes that he has precious little to draw from. Staying with that school analogy for just a moment, to me, it's like that eager child who the teacher asks a question and he rockets his hand up in the air and just feels like he has to contribute something to the conversation. But when he's called on, he finds he doesn't really have anything substantive to say, so he kind of sits there in dumbfounded silence for a little bit. Well, Andrew's here. He notices a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and so he thinks, okay, I guess I got to say something now, so I'll mention him. And much to his surprise and delight, I further imagine, the Lord takes him up on it. Again, Jesus would rather work with us and through us than around us and in spite of us. So directly echoing and fulfilling the Old Testament reading, Jesus takes this meager offering of a few scraps, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and feeds 5,000 such that each one not only has his fill, but there is an abundance left over. Okay, what does this all mean for us today? Well, for me, I think of how often I ask the Lord to act in some way, right? I've got petitions, I've got intercessions that I pray. I ask the Lord to act and provide in so many different kind of cases. But here's what I fail to do. I fail to consider what my role may be. What is he inviting me into in answering that prayer? It's almost like I expect him to work so that I can look on, observe his miraculous working, and ooh and ah. But based on our readings from this Sunday's gospel, I'm challenged to think again, well, maybe I have some role to play in this. Now, it's not a huge role, you know, but it's enough that he wants to work with me. I think the Lord is inviting me, and maybe you too, to think through what we have to offer. What are we being asked to give, even if it's seemingly inconsequential to the situation at hand? 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000. But then our Lord, taking our meager offering, and out of his great abundance will take it and render it more than enough. Indeed, my cup overflows. All right, another great show coming up for us today here on Practicing Catholic. First, if you've ever known someone fighting to save their marriage, you know what a difficult, seemingly impossible situation it is, especially without help and support. Well, Mike and Ann Cierney are with us to talk about Twin Cities Retrovi, a program that offers help, the help that couples in hurting marriages need. Next week is Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which is great because misconceptions, pardon the pun, abound as to what NFP is all about. Our producer, Cammy Berthume, will take over the mic to chat with the founder of Managing Your Fertility, an online one-stop shop of fertility awareness resources for women and couples, Bridget Busacher. And then finally, Bishop Cousins is back for a monthly bishop segment, and he's going to continue the conversation about NFP by tackling some tough questions about artificial contraception and Catholic teaching. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, chances are you know someone who has been through divorce. It may very well be someone who is close to you, like your parents or a dear friend. Perhaps you yourself have been through divorce. However you have encountered divorce, you know that it's a painful process that usually has a multitude of contributing factors. Part of practicing our Catholic faith is fighting for marriage, yes, but that includes meeting people who are struggling in their marriages and offering support and help. Retrovi is a lifeline for marriage, a program to help couples heal and renew their hurting marriages. Joining us now to talk about their own experience and to share more about Retrovi are Mike and Ann Cierney, community coordinators for Twin Cities Retrovi. Mike and Ann, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Yeah, it's pretty serious stuff here. Why don't you tell us about how you two first encountered Retrovi?
Go ahead, Mike.
We had been in what we would refer to the misery stage of our marriage, and Anne had surprisingly signed us up for this. She had reminded me a previous weekend that we had this coming up, and I reluctantly agreed. And we suffered some more breakdowns of our marriage that week. And we showed up our Friday night in total denial that we were even having issues. And the program just worked its way through all of exactly what we were going through, like they knew exactly what we were going through before we even talked about us.
Wow. And what were you feeling around this time as this meeting was rolling in?
Well, I knew we had serious problems in our marriageship, in our relationship. We weren't talking to one another. We didn't know how to communicate with one another. And we were both living what we call in Retrovi the married singles lifestyle, where we were both living pretty much separate lives. And we were effectively just roommates in the marriage. And we had had some other major issues come up in our marriage. And I knew we were on the path for divorce if we didn't get help. So that's when I did a internet search, and I found Retrovi, and from our first talk of the night, the program starts on Friday nights and goes through Sunday afternoons, and from the first talk on Friday night, I knew we were in the right place. Retrovi taught us how to communicate in a way we had never had before. Suddenly, we had a way to communicate our thoughts and our feelings that should have been shared years ago. And because of Retrovi, we have been able to look at ourselves and our actions and see how it affects the other person.
Yeah, the communication piece seems to me to be one of the key factors in all of this. What are some of the other things that really threaten a marriage here? I mean, obviously, lack of communication, not being able to put yourself in the other shoes or have a you know, free flowing conversation, that sort of thing. But what sort of things do people frequently report as things that are threatening their marriage?
Well, there's another program out there called Worldwide Marriage Encounter, which is for couples who don't have or aren't on the road to divorce. And Retrovi is more for struggling marriages. Mm-hmm. And the couples that we see are dealing with what we call the three big A's. And they are abuse, addiction, and I'm blocking it out. Mike, what's that?
Affairs,
yeah. And it's amazing. I would say that 8 or 9 out of couples that come to us, 8 or 9 out of 10 are dealing with one of those big A's.
Okay, abuse, addiction, and affairs. Okay, all right.
Addiction, affairs, and abuse.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, please continue, Ann. Just wanted to make sure I got that right. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's huge things. And often, one thing leads to another. Recently, we had a weekend where we had 10 couples present, and of those 10 couples, 8 of them were dealing with a pornography addiction, and that pornography addiction usually leads to having an affair.
Hmm.
But it's amazing when we start working with these couples and the process, the Retrovi process, I believe is wholly inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't believe at all that man could have written this alone. The whole program and how it works to bring you out of the depths of your marriage and rise above and just provide you hope for your marriage is like nothing else out there. And believe me, we tried a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, give us a sense of that. Mike, let's go over to you for a minute. So what is kind of the program? How is it set up, and how does it start addressing some of the problems, some of those three big A's?
Well, it's very difficult to explain without going real in depth, but we start off Friday night with just basic of how different things affect the marriage. How different feelings come into play, and you know how, like us guys, for example, tend to bury our feelings and not show them, not to let them affect us. Where we are, actually, they do affect us greatly. But being men of the world, we don't allow those feelings out because that's how we were raised. So from Friday night, we start working on our relationship as how it begun. We go all the way back to our dating years.
Hmm.
And we work it up from there. We go through the romance stage, so to speak, of our relationship. And then Friday or Saturday morning, as things go on, we concentrate a little bit on ourselves. We dig deep into ourselves. And then we dive into what we would call the disillusionment or the misery stage of our marriages. And from there, then the healing begins to work and those feelings start getting out in the open. And we hit the reawakening and we find out just, you know, what brought us together in the first place and why we want to fight to save our relationship.
Well, and that's one of the things I was thinking about, too, is that even the desire to want to fight to save the relationship, sometimes that is, I can imagine anyway, pretty hard to muster up. And so it seems to me like, Mike, what you're describing, that, you know, going back and remembering what made you interested in this person to begin with, or what you, why you thought, yeah, this could be the person I want to marry to begin with, could be a good reminder of why the relationship is still worth working on now. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, and, you know, in today's society, you know, when we watch TV or we go to the movies, they portray marriages as disposable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a reason why we fell in love to begin with. There's a reason why we chose our lives back in the day when we walked down that aisle and said before all of our friends and relatives and God himself that I take this person till death.
Right.
And this is something worth working on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And let me ask you this. So I think there's a high probability that a lot of people, if they're in a struggling marriage and they're facing one or more of those three big A's, abuse, addiction, or affairs, they're feeling alone. They're feeling like, you know, I have nowhere to turn for help. I don't know anybody else who's struggling with this. And that's not because obviously there's not, but probably more because people aren't very vocal about it. So what advice would you give out of the gates for someone who may be in that sort of situation?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head there. More and more couples come to us and say the best part of Retrovi is finding out that they're not alone. They are not alone in the structure. And more you get to know the couples and share their stories. Now, I should tell you that the program is 100% confidential. No couple is required to share their story. It's all volunteer. And you find that couples, through the program, because they start connecting with the presenters and the presenters' stories, that they want to share what's going on in their marriage because they have finally found somebody who's going through what they're going through. And there's normally three presenting couples on the weekend and a priest. And we also have an angel couple that helps in the background. And so the couples usually end up opening up because they're like, finally, they have found something. They might have seen hundreds of marriage counselors or something, but they finally found something where they can talk to another couple who's going through the same exact thing that they're doing. And it's just that connection is what helps couples. And then the couples will start talking to each other. I don't want to say it's a magical transformation from Friday night to Sunday afternoon, because when the couples leave on Sunday, we encourage them to attend our post sessions, which are held on Saturday. So we have our post sessions cover a lot more of the deeper couple, the deeper issues. We go into anger management, and we go on to how the family of origin can affect what you bring to the family. We explore needs, expectations. We talk about commitment and love being decisions, and forgiveness and trust being decisions. And we teach couples how to have a healthy discussions versus dealing with anger. And we give them rules to follow. And by learning the rules to follow in having these discussions, they can get into the hard issues of their marriage. And during the post sessions, the couples really open up to one another and really discover that, you know, we all live in this social media lifestyle where, you know, nobody posts the negative stuff on Facebook. It's always everything's good and well. Mm-hmm. And when you find out is that most people wear a mask, you know, they wear a mask to cover the issues that they're having, you know, personally and in their marriages. And so when they come to Retrovi, they find that they're able to remove that mask and they're able to really see the issues and see, open up to other people about what's going on in their marriage and find true healing in their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's great. Thank you, Ann. And we have only got a couple minutes left, but a couple of things that I wanted to get to for sure. And Mike, maybe we'll just start with you on this one, but If one member of the marriage is not quite on board with doing the whole retrovi thing, any suggestions or advice on how the other one can encourage without sounding pushy or naggy?
That's a difficult one. Most of the couples who come, one sees an insurmountable separation ahead. The other sees no problem at all with the relationship. And, you know, we've had many couples, we've talked with them Friday night, you know, they don't know if they're even in the right place, or generally one of them doesn't think they're in the correct place. Once you hear the stories of the presenters, people usually realize, and hey, yeah, I have been, you know, neglecting certain needs of our marriage and my spouse. And it's a great place to come, even just to reconnect with your spouse, to get to remember why you fell in love to begin with.
Right. Right. That's a great and succinct answer. I mean, it's a great encouragement. Yes. Well, let me ask you both, or Anne, maybe you can take the lead on this one. Okay, so if couples want to find out more about Twin Cities Retrovi, if they want to find out when you have events coming up or programs coming up, where can they go? What can they do?
Our website's not working well right now, so I'll send you to the international website, which is helpourmarriage.org. And from there, they can find communities all over the nation and the world. We're in 26 different countries, and I think it's 156 communities right now. And I will also want to say that priests and any nuns or sisters, they are welcome to come for free for the weekend. Deacons and pastors, they're free. And any marriage counselors are free to attend the weekend. We do not charge them.
Wow.
Attend, because we think this program is so vital in helping marriages that we want them to learn what we're all about, so that when a couple comes to them for help, they can send them our way. Fun fact, we do have quite a few times where a judge has told a couple he will not grant them a divorce until they attend a retrovi.
Oh, nice.
And recently we just had a couple who had been divorced for 7 years. And they reconciled on the weekend.
Wow. Fantastic. What a great story. Yeah. Well, Mike and Ann, thank you for being on the show, but thank you all the more for all the work that you've been doing with Twin Cities Retrovi. I pray for the success, the continued success, and the continued healing of many marriages through the Lord working through you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
And God bless. Yep. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we return, our talented producer, Cami Berthume, sits down with Bridget Busacker for a frank discussion about NFP. Don't miss it. We will be right back.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. No, this isn't our beloved Patrick Conley, but you are in the right place. My name is Cami Berthume. I serve as the producer for Practicing Catholic, and it's a joy to be on this side of the mic today. So if you've ever gone through marriage prep in the Catholic Church, you should have been exposed to NFP, or Natural Family Planning, the Church's title for the scientific, natural, and moral methods of family planning that can help married couples either achieve or postpone pregnancy. In preparation for NFP Awareness Week happening July 25th through the 31st, what better person to chat with about all things fertility than my good friend, Bridget Busacker. Bridget is a public health communications professional and founder of Managing Your Fertility, an online one-stop shop of fertility awareness resources for women and couples. Bridget, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Always good to have you on.
Cammie, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you today.
I know. This is so fun. Well, last time you were on with Patrick, you talked a bit about NFP in general. So today, we were kind of looking to chat about who NFP is for and how it's somewhat synonymous with the term fertility awareness as a practice for unmarried women. So would you first explain a bit more about the similarities and differences between these terms, NFP and fertility awareness?
Absolutely. So there is no scientific difference between the definitions of fertility awareness and natural family planning in the space of a lot of Catholics and Catholic organizations that are promoting fertility awareness-based methods, which is the science that the Catholic Church condones and approves of for Catholic couples to use. And we're seeing the term fertility awareness used more and more because oftentimes when single women are hearing natural family planning, they're thinking, well, I'm not married, I'm not engaged, I'm not looking to plan a family, I'm just looking to understand my body. So there's been a lot of confusion, I think, for single women who are thinking, oh, this isn't something I can do yet, this is what I do when I'm married. Sure. So we've been using the term a lot more with fertility awareness to help women who are single, wanting to learn their body and how it works, and knowing that this is all about awareness. It's understanding how your cycle works, and this is honestly really ideal for women to do before they're engaged, before they're married, to really have a better understanding of how their body works, what's going on with their fertility and their hormones, and just getting more in tune with their body as a whole and just understanding, you know, if there are any concerns or issues related to their reproductive health or otherwise that need to be addressed. And then with natural family planning, it's taking that science, the same practice of fertility awareness-based methods, and it's really taking it to the next level for married couples in using it to plan their family with theology of the body at the core of discernment and understanding, okay, how do we respect and honor each other's bodies? How are we growing in virtue and not, you know, lust? We're growing in love. We're loving each other and respecting each other's bodies and making sure we're open to the possibility of new life when we have sex and when we engage in intimacy together. And so I think it's really a good building block when you start with fertility awareness and then move into natural family planning as a married woman. And it's a really great segue when you can start charting before you're married to lead into natural family planning. So you're not totally overwhelmed when you're engaged and trying to figure out how it works, but that's often very true for, you know, most of us as married women that we're experiencing that when we're engaged. That was my experience. I charted a little bit, but as I was learning more about my body and realizing, okay, we're going to be using natural family planning when we were engaged, it became a little bit more intense in the learning process. And I was fortunate to have some background in charting, but I knew I could have used more. And I wish that the church and my parish had talked a lot more about this for single women to really embrace their fertility.
Definitely. That's a good point. And I know we kind of already touched on this too, and you did a good job explaining, you know, why women should be exposed to fertility awareness and even NFP in general before marriage prep. So in what ways did you encounter NFP? And so we kind of touched on how parishes could do maybe a little bit more, or just, you know, even the domestic church. But what resources would be helpful for parishes to have about NFP? Like what areas do you think we could improve on when it comes to introducing fertility awareness to folks at the parish level? And realistically, what roles could our parishes have in all of this?
That's a really great question. And I'm seeing that talked about more and more and seeing more programming coming out, which is amazing. So my job with Managing Your Fertility, I really see myself as a space where I am referring people to organizations that already exist. I'm not here to reinvent the wheel. I'm here to share the information and to be able to share as much as possible. So I think for parishes, you know, starting with young women and moms, having parents involved in the process of talking about fertility awareness, I think so often we get nervous about anything related to education around the body, you know, not just sex, because sex education is not enough. We're talking about educating women about how their bodies work. What does it look like to menstruate? Why do we menstruate? How does that impact our emotional health? our physical health, even our spiritual health. And I think to have parents a part of that process, I think eliminates some of the fear of, you know, common sex education programs in schools where parents are removed from the process when they really need to be a part of it, because it needs to be a training not only children are receiving, you know, young women are understanding about their bodies, but parents as well, so that parents feel that they're equipped to talk about these things. And so we can have a healthy understanding when we're talking about chastity and fertility and, you know, respect of our own person and respect of other person's bodies too. And I think with Parish Life, there are some really great initiatives taking place to tangibly help parishes in initiating conversations and clarifying what's the role of a pastor. You know, I don't think a pastor should be completely taking over and talking about NFP all the time. We really need to be involving, like you said, the domestic church parishioners, those who are practicing NFP, those who would be willing to form small groups for couples, having talks outside of, you know, mass. As much as we want to say we want to hear it in a homily, well, that's good, but we need to have more. We need more programming available, talks, and just more organic conversation and involving couples and having small groups together, like I said, and getting each other, engaging each other's lives and building community, because I think that's where really huge change happens, and through those relational conversations and relationships being built around these harder and more challenging topics. Because if you're a couple that feels kind of alone in the process, whether you're, you know, dealing with trying to understand how NFP works, you're frustrated by it, you're navigating infertility, we need each other. And there's a really great resource that has come out on a practical level to help parishes identify ways to expand the NFP conversation from the different roles, whether it's parish administrator, the pastor, couples, if you have lead couples. Pearl and Thistle is an organization, and Christina Valenzuela, who has founded it, developed a parish packet for NFP planning. It's free, it's available on her website, and it's very thorough, and it's starting to be implemented by various parishes and testing out this model to really to be able to expand upon and identify, okay, where are the gaps, where are the conversations not happening, so we can get the variety of age groups, and we're not just doing it in a marriage prep class, and a couple hears about it for potentially the first time, and they're overwhelmed and thinking, I thought I was just going to use birth control. What do you mean the Catholic Church doesn't support the use of birth control? For some, they're hearing it for the very first time, and I think for those of us who maybe grew up knowing birth control isn't an option and there's something that we can use, but you're not really paying attention, that was my case, it's not as alarming to hear that. But for many, it's very true that you're not hearing about the no birth control until you're in marriage prep. And, you know, we can't be offended or shocked by the fact that a couple doesn't want to do natural family planning. They're kind of going through their own emotions and the shock of, oh my gosh, I thought I had control. What do you mean God's a part of this? And there's a bit more of a dance here and discernment that I need to be taught.
Definitely. And I love what you said too, just about community and how, I mean, that pertains to all aspects of our faith, right? Without community, it's so hard to continue to grow. And to just, especially with NFP and fertility awareness, to have friends and people our age, you know, to bounce things off of when it comes to this is so important. And for the resource, that is Pearl and Thistle, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. So moving right along here, since it'll be NFP Awareness Week this upcoming week, what tips might you have for some folks who maybe want to enlighten others about the beauty of NFP and fertility awareness and why the church teaches it? I know you kind of mentioned how people maybe don't hear about it until they're engaged and going through marriage prep. So what would you say to those folks who don't even have it on their radar yet or want to share about or teach others about NFP?
I love this because this question really identifies what can we do as a domestic church? What can we do as individuals? And not just saying, what should the church do? We are the church. And so I think with that in mind, I think it's so important for us to have that information and making sure we're well-formed. So, you know, reading Christopher West, looking at what Dr. Greg Popchak has available, reading Pope John Paul II's writings on, you know, family life and human sexuality with theology of the body, and you know, we don't have to be scholars and amazing intellectuals to share this, but making sure that we are understanding and knowing, you know, okay, what does the Catholic Church really teach? Okay, and when you're passionate and excited to share it, start talking about it, whether it's on social media, in your small group, in your parish life, in your community, in your marriage group. You know, if you have an initiative and a desire to share more about NFP, go to your pastor and volunteer yourself to do that, because we need more people in this space. It's not okay that I can name off, you know, 10 people that I can think of who are, you know, you could say influencers or leaders in the NFP world. I want to be able to name off so many, I lose count, that we have hundreds available in this space, because there is so much work to be done and so many people who are creating this information and wanting to understand how NFP works, how charting works. You know, if you're someone who's a single woman and you're charting and you're really excited about it, get a group of girlfriends together, start charting together, you know, encourage each other to actually start working with an instructor with a particular organization that teaches one of the methods available. And just getting creative and stepping up into those leadership roles, because it's such valuable information. And I found that the more I reach out to people in my own life and sharing about it, they're totally intrigued by it, or they're wanting to start charting. And we have such beautiful, vulnerable conversations and friendships built out of this space, because we're creating these spaces to share. This is delicate information. This is, you know, sometimes challenging to talk about. It's not something, you know, you're going to blather about, you know, if you're struggling with, but to be able to build that community. And I think, you know, there are different avenues to do that, through social media, through your parish, stepping up in a leadership role, making sure we're well-formed and reading the content that's available to us that speaks so beautifully to natural family planning and our human sexuality, are just some really great ways to get started.
I love it. Thank you so much for offering all those options and resources and ideas, for just kind of getting the word out and familiarizing ourselves with these types of conversations. So in the last couple of minutes here, I'd like to ask you, how can our listeners get plugged into your work with managing your fertility? You just have so many great resources. What would our listeners find on your website?
So on the website, it's www.managingyourfertility.com. It's a space, it's a one-stop shop of fertility awareness resources for women and couples. So you're going to find everything from 101 of the cycle, how the hormones work, you know, a little bit more about literacy and healthcare and why that matters. Resources for miscarriage and infant loss, talking about intimacy and sex, 101 of methods that are available, a lot of good content there. We have a blog where women share their stories of using natural family planning in their marriage, or single women who are charting and learning and sharing about their health journeys. And then there's also a podcast, Managing Your Fertility, as well, that I host and interview a variety of different people. So it's really fun. It's a great way to learn. And I have a ton of resources that I share, again, of individuals who are already doing great work, and I don't need to reinvent the wheel. So I'm so happy to be able to have so many resources to share that I'm finding of different programs, initiatives, and resources for everything from parishes to parents to single women to married couples.
Awesome. So you just kind of cover the whole the whole spectrum, excuse me.
Well, you're trying.
Yes, you're doing a great job. And thank you for sharing your ministry with us on Practicing Catholic. It is always a joy to speak with you and to hear about this wonderful ministry.
Thank you so much, Cami.
Yeah. We're off into another short break here. And when we come back, Bishop Cousins will be tackling some tough questions on contraception. Stay with us.
Secularism is a spiritual disaster because we're built for God, and we know that.
Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, Robert Barron.
All the pleasure, all the money, all the power, all the honor that the world can give you, there's still this restlessness in the heart. It's the restlessness for God. And so the secular ideology that flattens life out and says, no, you can be utterly satisfied by these finite things, is doing deep damage to human beings, especially to young people. Because young people are taking in this ideology through almost every movie, every song, every commercial. And what that does is it breaks the spirit and leads to deep unhappiness, deep alienation. See, and that's the role the church plays in society. If we get marginalized by a secular society that sees secularism as the default position and religion is kind of a nice hobby that some people have, that's doing deep damage to society. Because we're the ones who remind people of this longing of the heart, who remind the world of what satisfies it.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Joining me now is none other than Bishop Andrew Cousins, our auxiliary bishop here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Bishop, how are you doing today?
Wonderful, Patrick. It's great to be back on the show.
Always good to have you on. Thank you. And especially as we've already been talking about on the show today, and we've been focusing in that next week is NFP Awareness Week, Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, throughout the church in the United States. And it is something that we are focusing on. We're trying to get education and the word out. But let me start, Bishop, with probably a question that's on many people's minds, especially if they're not overly familiar with Catholic teaching, which is, why in the world would the church teach against something like contraception, artificial contraception? It seems like, this is, I'm making the argument, the advocatus diaboli, if you will, that it seems like artificial contraception paves the way for a lot of things that we tend to associate as good, such as freedom, personal freedom, the ability to make choices for oneself and not have something forced upon you, to be responsible when it comes to rearing and raising children. So why would the church teach against artificial contraception?
Thank you, Patrick. You know, it is important to recognize that this is today one of the church's most controversial teachings, and one of the places where general society looks at the church and says, you're just crazy. That doesn't make any sense. And but then there is a whole nother perspective that when we begin to look at the world and our own lives, and especially our bodies and our sexuality, from the lens of faith and revelation and who we really are and what is the purpose of sexuality and why did God give us this incredible gift, and that this is a gift that comes from God and it's not just something that we can manipulate on our own, and that when we act against God's gifts, it ultimately brings destruction. And there is where we would have to, even secular society would have to admit that since the advent of artificial contraception and really the birth of the sexual revolution, the results in society have not been good. You know, Pope Paul VI, who wrote Humani Vitae, and so this is a short radio segment. We can't get into all of the deep theology of St. Paul VI or St. John Paul II on this issue, but it's really worth getting into it, and I encourage people to read Humani Vitae. This is a document that St. Paul VI wrote in 1968. And in that document in 1968, he made several predictions. He said, if contraception becomes widespread, there will be a general lowering of sexual morality, and that will have extremely negative effects on society and especially on women. So, for example, he predicted that the divorce rate would increase. He predicted that abortion would increase in society. He predicted that pornography use and other things like sex trafficking would increase if contraception became widespread. Why? Because he showed us that it actually transforms the way we see sex, and that this incredible sacred gift which has been given to us, which is one of the highest human natural goods, which is the expression of covenantal love between a husband and wife. This is one of the highest natural goods in the world, and really the sealing of the sacrament of marriage, right? That when we corrupt that expression, when we corrupt what is a great thing, it destroys something in us, and it destroys something in our world and in our culture. And so although you might look at and still say, well, I don't understand why this is wrong, if you look across society and see what's happened to families and women and sexuality, the whole Me Too movement, right? These are not good things in our culture. And when you look across society, you have to say, maybe based on its fruits, we should be taking a second look at this teaching on contraception. Lots of people have made that argument. There was a really well done book by Mark Regneris in 2017 just called Cheap Sex. And he says, what's happened is we've made sex cheap, and contraception is what did that. Here's the fundamental argument, though, of the church, just to put it in succinct terms. We believe that every act of sexual love should be the full expression of what that means. That is, the total self-gift of two people to each other. And that total self-gift involves the gift of my fertility. It involves openness to whatever God wants to do in that act. And that when we are not acting directly against that gift, then the gift has its full effect. Really, we speak about the two aspects of that gift of sexuality. It's unitive. When a husband and wife unite in the act of sex, it unites them in a powerful way, physically and spiritually. It knights not just their bodies, but their souls. And second, it's procreative. That means it's open to life, right? And that means we're capable in that moment of partaking with God in the creation of an eternal soul. And the fact is, whenever we destroy one of those essential acts of sexuality, we end up corrupting the other. And so when we block intentionally through contraception, sterilization, the unitive or the procreative aspect of sexuality, we make it less unitive. And we, in fact, become more using another person, or it lends itself towards that possibility much more. I'm using you for my own physical pleasure versus I'm making a gift of myself to you. I remember once a young woman who I did her wedding, and she ended up working in our marriage tribunal as an advocate. And so she had to read the cases of people who had been divorced and were seeking annulments. And one of the things that we ask a couple when they get an annulment is, did you ever have sex that was open to life? Not using contraception. Because that could be a sign of a fundamental flaw in the marriage, that you're not open to life, right? And if you're not open to life, then it's not a covenant, right? And so, and she was always stunned by how many people said yes to that. And she was a young, newly married couple, a couple years she'd been married, you know? And she realized, like, they've never experienced what I experienced, which is this total openness to my husband, to be completely open, to say, I love you so much, I'm open to whatever comes from this act, even another person like you, right? Which is what married love tries to say to the other. And so it just made the point for me that there is a holding back when I'm using contraception, and that that is destructive to what sexuality is supposed to be.
Okay, well, we've heard from Bridget Busacker about what NFP is and what it isn't, but I want to stay in that same vein of kind of argumentation, but I want to bring NFP into the picture here. So perhaps another argument that people might make is, well, what makes NFP permissible then? Because in a sense, you're essentially saying, look, we might not be using artificial means of contraception, but in no way, shape, or form are we expecting there to be conception or a pregnancy that comes from this act based on fertility cycling and that sort of thing?
That's a very good question, and it's the natural logical question. The difference is this. There is in moral theology a very important distinction between destroying the good and cooperating with the good. And so the fact is that God has made us so we're not fertile all the time. Well, actually, he's made women so they're not fertile all the time. Men are fertile all the time. It's just part of reality. But women are not fertile all the time. And therefore, it's possible for us to use science. Science is a good thing, right? And to cooperate with the way that God made us. But the key is this. Even that could be done for selfish reasons, right? And so I need to always prayerfully discern, as a married couple needs to always prayerfully discern, do we have a good reason to not be open to life right now? Because the general disposition of a married couple is life is always a gift. More life is better. Another child is the greatest possible gift I could give to the world and to my spouse. And so there might be good reasons, psychological, financial, societal reasons. I'm living through a difficult time where I can't be open to life right now. And for that reason, I might have to cooperate with my natural cycle. But that is very different than acting directly against the natural cycle or destroying a good. This is cooperating with the way God made us. And so when I do that in discernment with God, I actually grow in love. Why? Because I cooperate with what God has designed the perfection of love to be, which is chastity. Chastity is not a limiting of love, it's a perfecting of love. And so I use chastity, which is periodic abstinence, in times when I know that my wife is fertile. I use that chastity and I actually grow in love for her, sacrificial love for her and for my children through this gift of NFP versus I'm going to take this matter into my own hands and I'm going to take control and I'm going to take a pill and treat my fertility like a disease. or I'm going to act directly against the way God made me so that I can do what I want. Now, I'm painting that in the most selfish terms, and I don't believe that most couples who are using contraception are always doing it for selfish reasons. But contraception, in fact, does act directly against the good. NFP cooperates with the way God made us.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's shift to a little bit more perhaps positive speak, and I will cease to be so argumentative, but I appreciate you entertaining it anyway, Bishop. But let's talk about what the church offers to couples who are looking to explore NFP. How can people find out about it? You know, it is a shift in people's mindsets, especially if they have been used to using artificial forms of contraception all along. What should they do? How can they find out more about NFP?
You know, this is the great gift, is that what NFP wants to do is actually teach you about the goodness of your body and teach you about the goodness of sexuality, rather than treat your body and your fertility as a problem to be solved. And so rather, this is a gift to be cherished. And sometimes in reverence for that gift, we abstain out of reverence for the power of this gift. Other times in reverence for the gift, we engage in sexual intercourse. So, and this is so interesting to me because we live in like a world that loves natural water and we don't want food with GMOs. And yet so many women put these false chemicals into their body and live with this kind of false chemically induced state. And they somehow think that that's going to be naturally good for them, where NFP is natural. It's exploring the gift of God's, the way God made us. And it also helps many women who struggle with infertility, because by learning the natural cycle, you can cooperate with that also to achieve pregnancy, not just to avoid pregnancy. And so we teach NFP classes all over the Archdiocese. All you have to do is go to our Marriage and Family Life website, and you can find our natural family planning classes. You'll find we have lots of different methods to teach it. All the methods, they're all slightly different. Some have, you know, positives for one woman versus another. We have some wonderful places in the Archdiocese where people who are really having struggle with their cycles can get help, like Alpha Family Clinic, which is a pro-life, pro-Catholic, pro-family medical clinic in the Twin Cities. And they offer, you know, even training, not just around NFP, but also how to deal with problems that might come up in a woman's cycle, because these things happen. And this is one of the strange things about modern medicine, is that, you know, today when a woman has a problem in her fertility cycle, everyone prescribes the pill, which I always feel it's like, you know, I've got a sliver in my finger. Well, just cut off the finger. It'll take care of the sliver. Well, that's true, but there might be a way to actually solve the problem, not just cut off the problem, you know? So the NFP has all these natural benefits, and it's easy to learn. It's an art, and it requires both the man and the woman to be involved in marriage. But the fact is, and I'm sure this has already been said, couples who practice natural family planning have much stronger marriages. They have 99% success rate in marriage, because sexuality becomes this gift that I reverence and not something that I abuse.
Very good. Well, Bishop Cousins, we are, as always, grateful, and I can't believe it, but we are out of time already. And I am so, I wish this conversation should just continue and continue, because there are so many things to elucidate upon, but we'll call it quits for today. Thank you, as always, for being with us, Bishop. I'll get it out eventually. But we do ask that before you go, if once again, you would give us your blessing, please.
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Cousins, thank you, as always, for being with us.
God bless you.
All right. Well, it's always good to hear from Bishop Cousins. We're going to go into our final break, but there's still more to come. When we return, Paul and Cami and I will help get you up to date with ways to practice your Catholic faith in the days to come. We'll be right back.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months while I was incarcerated. My heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, got a few minutes to spare that you want to fill with something helpful but not too arduous? Why not pop over to PracticingCatholicShow.com and suggest a guest or topic for the show? We'd love your input. While you're there, click on the links to our social media pages and follow us to stay up to date on the show.
And if you've got a few extra minutes online, check out rhspm.org/synod. Get a jump on Synod small groups coming up this fall. All of these and more are available at rhspm.org/synod.
Need a little help surrendering? Join the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office in a virtual speaker series and learn about surrendering to our Lord Jesus Christ. The series is July 26th and 27th over Zoom. There'll be a praise and worship and inspiring talks by Bishop Peter Smith and Jim Murphy. For more information and registration, stop by rhspm.org/events.
Outdoorsy young adults are invited to join the Frasati Society of Minnesota on a trip to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, July 30th through August 7th. You can expect a rigorous paddle in and paddle out, scenic conifer forests, beautiful sunsets, campfires and hammocks, quirky wildlife, 50-pound plus packs, teamwork, plenty of adventure, and exciting tales and pictures to treasure forever. For more information and registration, check out FrasatiSocietyMN.org or the Frasati Society of Minnesota's Facebook page.
All right. It's almost time for a new Cup of Joe. Join in virtually for 10 talks by 10 theologians on the 10 Wonders of St. Joseph, taking place at 10 locations in our archdiocese, entrusted to the patronage of our spiritual father. These talks will premiere on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram on the first Tuesday of the month, now through December at 4 p.m., just in time for your afternoon coffee. The next Cup of Joe will be Tuesday, August 3rd, with Deacon Joe Mihalik, reflecting on St. Joseph, Savior of the Savior. Visit rhspm.org/cupofjoe for all the viewing options.
All Catholics are welcome at the Catholic United Financial Leadership Conference, August 7th and 8th at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. This enriching weekend includes multiple keynote speakers, meals, masses, social events, daily activities to bring us all together and sharpen our leadership skills. No cost to attend. For more information, visit CatholicUnited.org.
Plan now to join Archbishop Hebda for the 2021 Leading with Faith Awards Mass and Celebration on Wednesday, August 11th at 1 p.m. This happens at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Every year, the Catholic Spirit celebrates executives, owners, and other leaders of secular businesses who show Christ-centered leadership in times of plentitude and in times of stress. For further details, registration, and a list of this year's honorees, visit rhspm.org/events.
And do you follow Practicing Catholic on social media? Like and follow us and share a few of our posts on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. For links to these, as well as past interviews, visit PracticingCatholicShow.com.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Cammy. Thanks for being on the air.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's good to have you on this side of the mic. And we're actually doing it in the studio this week, which is amazing. Face to face. It's good to be back here in the studio.
Fun.
And we get to look at Paul all the time. Which is
that's the downside, of course.
No.
No, not at all. I mean, we are just like when we're at together at the altar rail, you know, we're shoulder to shoulder with people regardless of our differences.
Very true.
Yes, it's all very good. Well, it is a pleasure to work with these fine folks. And in fact, guess what? We've put together another show for next week as well. Well, Cammy has. Paul and I just show up and do our jobs,
no,
right?
No. True. It wouldn't be the same without the both of you.
All right. Anyway, here's what's coming up next time. Can you believe it's nearly August already? On the next Practicing Catholic, a new month means a new Cup of Joe. We'll talk with Deacon Joe Mihalik about his upcoming presentation, St. Joseph, Savior of the Savior. Next, Stephanie Wade, a nominee for this year's Leading with Faith Awards, will share about being a practicing Catholic at work. Lastly, we're going to catch up with our old friend Jason Adkins. Well, he's not that old, but on how his work with Minnesota Catholic Conference has impacted the lives of Minnesota Catholics. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.